information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for Thursday, June 1st. Coming up this hour, don't let the folks in the anti-woke crowd get to you, being high candidates for high blood pressure or whatever else seems to be stressing them out. We're going to have a doctor in the house, one Kristen Lyerly, talking about in-hometown health, how there might be some mental health benefits to taking part in activities that create an atmosphere of acceptance and openness. At least, Dr. Lyerly, I think that's what you're going to say to us today. Good morning.
Good morning. That's part of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the benefits of drag shows as a participant and as someone who goes to attend drag shows and just gets to enjoy being together, celebrating.
All right. So we'll look forward to that coming up. And if you missed it in the last hour, again, it's a well-worn punchline, Dems in disarray. But compared to what Republicans are going through, you could easily say Dems in array, talking about the deficit deal. We had a great conversation with Joe Zepecki. If you missed last hour or want to catch any of our show episodes, subscribe to us as a podcast at Apple, Spotify, all the other usual places to do so. And of course, the Civic Media website, which is civicmedia.us, where you can also stay up to date on all the changes that are going to be coming starting on Monday. And we'll talk more about that later in this hour as well, in case you've missed it earlier. Some of your shows are going to be making some big changes. We are not among them. We're gonna be here from 6 to 8, and I think we're going to get Kristen and the others to come along with us. I think you don't mind getting up this early, do you?
Okay. Look. No, it's so good. And, you know, think about where we've come from, like where we were a year ago and how much progress we've made and all of the people that we've brought on board and the listeners and the enthusiasm. This is a game changer and it is such a delight to be part of it.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here as well. So part of that, it deals with part of our having Kristen on for Hometown Health, and our topic today deals with June being Pride Month, but it's also June Dairy Month. So if I can, smack you and Aaron around with some dairy knowledge, let's see. And this, of course, is all thanks to the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, and you can get all this information at wisconsindairy.org for June Dairy Month. Can you give a guess as to how many jobs are created by Wisconsin's dairy industry? And again, just a range, how many jobs?
Annually?
No, how many jobs total right now are working in the dairy industry?
That's really hard.
I know, 157,000 jobs in this state are based in dairy in one way or another. Let's go for something like, how many dairy cows are in Wisconsin?
A million. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good guess. 1.25 million.
Oh, wow.
Cows.
Yep.
Nice.
With a total daily milk production per cow of 8 gallons, that means that Wisconsin's monthly milk production with all those cows is more than 2.5 billion pounds of milk.
That was quick math you did there.
Yeah, no, I did not do the math. Thankfully, other people did that for me. Now, a lot of Wisconsin's milk goes to cheese, and 48% of all the specialty cheese that's made in the country comes from Wisconsin. And I think we've talked about some of our favorites before, how Gouda is certainly one of my favorites, especially from Marietta and Thorpe, and then curds from Nasonville down the road here near Curtis. I can't recall, Kristen, if you said you have your own favorite specialty cheese.
You know, I travel Highway 29 quite a bit, and I was just at Marietta, actually, just to pick up some Gouda because the kids just love that. But I really love Scray Hill, which is this teeny tiny little dairy here in the De Pere area, and they're still functional. You can go into this old farmhouse, and you can see them making the cheese, and you can get your squeaky curds right then and there almost every morning.
How about you, Aaron? Got a favorite specialty cheese that comes out of Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Let me take a guess, because I'm going through where Wisconsin leads the U.S. in production. Wisconsin produces 100% of the Limburger cheese made in this country.
I'm going to say
What do you mean? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, yeah.
I've been there.
Oh, what do you, to Limburger?
No, to the cheese factory that makes Limburger. It's just okay. Outside of Monroe.
Okay.
And they are delightful. That too is just this, it's just an old farmhouse and you mm-hmm. walk in and they're happy to share different types of Limburger with you because, you know, the more aged stuff is different than the new stuff. And they give you the whole history and it's a very heartwarming conversation. I loved it because Limburger always reminds me of being a kid. My grandparents always had Limburger.
Oh,
I don't think I've ever eaten it.
No, and that's why we're not going to live as long as our grandparents, because they were willing and had to eat stuff we wouldn't. So, Aaron, we interrupted. We guessed that Limburger was not one of your favorite cheeses.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I've never had it. It could be, but it's not
at the moment. Not at the moment.
I don't know. I like to go to Pine River Dairy in Manitowoc just because, you know, that's where I'm from, and either get cheese curds, get ice cream, get some other processed stuff, like they have different dips for crackers and things. The port wine dip is really good.
You bet.
I'm from Kakana. Kakana is known for port wine cheese spread. How could I forget that?
How could you not have brought us some already or sent some over to us?
We need a cheese party.
Oh my God, she's thinking
next weekend when we're all in Green Bay together.
All right. Now we have a party. The party planning committee is going to meet during this break, and then we will get our forecast from Weatherology and some other headlines with Dr. Lyerly ahead of Hometown Health. That's all coming up in a bit as we kick off June Dairy Month here. You're up north. That's our theme coming up later this hour in Hometown Health. 70 degrees right now in Appleton, Baldwin 68, Rhinelander 66, Beloit 66 in fog right now, but it's going to be another warm one all across the state of Wisconsin. And so we'll head off to Weatherology and get the forecast here. Jennifer, I believe is it Jennifer with us? No, it's Michael Cairo is here today. Michael, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
Tell us more about some pop-up showers, but in terms of any prolonged precipitation, it's going to be a while?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hit or miss across the state once again. I think mainly from the Fox River Valley down to about to Jefferson and points off to the west from there. Areas closer to the lakeshore for today will be under the influence of a bit more stable of an air mass. So I think largely looking to stay dry in areas right along the Lake Michigan shoreline. But yeah, the remainder of the state, a chance for some hit or miss type showers and storms popping up into the afternoon time frame. Thankfully, the overall threat for severe weather looking to stay low, mainly just some locally heavy downpours, the primary threat with any of that activity. Pretty comparable to yesterday, quite warm and humid across the state. We'll have high temperatures working up into the upper 80s to lower 90 degree range, which puts us around 15 degrees above average for this time of year. And for tonight, still could have some lingering scattered storms early in the evening. Then that activity gradually decreasing in coverage as we head later into the night, with those overnight low temperatures for tonight dropping back into the middle range of the 60s. Much the same even into your Friday, still high temperatures working up well into the 80s. Could even have some lower 90s, especially from about to La Crosse over to near Oshkosh and down to near Madison. So basically the southern half of the state better shot at those lower 90-degree readings into the day on Friday. And along with that heat and humidity once again, the better chance for some pop-up showers and storms, especially into the afternoon time frame there for tomorrow. Into your upcoming weekend, still pretty hit or miss in nature with those showers and storms on Saturday, looking at high temperatures to well above average in the middle to upper 80s from areas like Eau Claire over to near Wausau, but could again touch that 90-degree mark down to near Madison as well as Richland Center. Sunday, I think the vast majority of the state will stay dry. Maybe areas like Baldwin over to near Amory, a slight chance for an isolated storm over that way. Still well above average highs, well into the 80s, close to 90. Not really seeing any significant relief from the heat through about Tuesday of next week. I think finally by the time we get to Tuesday, we'll be closer to the upper 70s and lower 80-degree readings for high temperatures there. But until then, our stretch of very summer-like conditions looks to continue.
At that point, some of us are going to have to replace our sprinkler. It's going to wear itself out over these next few days. Michael Cairo from Weatherology, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. In sports, Abraham Toro, who was called up from AAA Nashville, hit a two-run home run for the Brewers. Owen Miller had drove in a pair of runs on two hits, and the Brewers beat Toronto 4-2 Wednesday night. They will play again this afternoon before it's off to Cincinnati for games Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoons, and then again Monday night before coming home and playing a homestand that starts next Tuesday. We will have tickets to next Wednesday's game at American Family Field. We'll give away two on Monday and two on Tuesday, so hang around for that on our show. And also a quick reminder, you can hear the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 in the Fox Valley and News from the Center 177 FM 1450 AM in that neck of the Wisconsin woods. All right, Kristen Lyerly and Aaron Zommers and I were talking about June Dairy Month, and I was going to ask next, as somebody who had run for office, who'd been on TV and who had a very big district, I've been to more than a couple of dairy breakfasts. Kristen, I'm assuming you're in that same camp. Are dairy breakfasts not quite as prevalent as they are over in my corner of the state?
And it seems as though you may be muted.
There we go. There she is.
Yep. Yeah, my cat is trying to get into my office.
Are you sure that's a cat from the screaming? That I was certain that you had like a toddler there as well, but it's the cat.
He thinks he's a toddler also. But breakfast on the farm. Yes, we've got one coming up actually on Sunday here in Greenleaf.
Okay. And Aaron, what about in the Manitowoc area?
I have never been to a specific like dairy breakfast event. I've been to like pancake breakfasts.
Oh, you know what? Road trip. What do you say, Kristen?
Yes, let's do it.
All right.
Oh boy.
Kristen, let's talk for a bit here about something that we were discussing yesterday. Took a caller or two about it. Republicans are coming up with a new package of bills that they say essentially moderates their position on the 1849 abortion ban. It doesn't really, does it?
No.
Because it keeps the ban in place, but says, well, but except for these specifically enumerated procedures. And I immediately thought of you because I thought, I don't think that's going to sit well with politicians writing specific medical procedures into law and saying, you can do these, but you can't do these because we're in power and we say so.
None of us wants political interference in our personal healthcare decision making. That's the bottom line. Whether we're talking about abortion or cancer care or your preventive care, you don't want politicians making those decisions for you because those are highly individualized decisions that only you can make for yourself within the context of your own life. So this is just another example of politicians trying to get into your life, trying to make those decisions for you, trying to wield power over your decisions. And the irony is, this is the party that wants less government, but they want more government in your exam room. So they just need to back off and let us make our own decisions about our own health care, and we'll all be happier then, wouldn't you say?
I would say if you just, like I said to Aaron last hour, one of those first viral video clips with the little girl saying, you worry about yourself. That's really where we should be. Now, as I'd mentioned yesterday, there's nothing wrong with somebody wanting to make the case that instead of, you know, this option, you know, which could lead to abortion, you know, consider adoption instead of abortion. Or how about if we could fully fund, affordable child care and paid family leave and things like that. All of these things other than dictating things in the doctor's office and taking away a patient's healthcare rights. You can make the case against abortion all you want, but it's when you start wielding that as a matter of power that has really had a backlash to Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Well, they like to define these things in political terms. It's very black and white, and that makes it very understandable. But the truth is, it's not black and white. Everything is shades of gray. And when you're talking about your personal healthcare decisions, when you're talking about these things that are affected by all of the other things in your life, do you have clean water? Do you have access to healthy food? Do you have access to healthcare and to sources that are going to help you find evidence, find support so that you can make those decisions? Those are the things that you need to be able to have in order to make those decisions that will affect you for the rest of your life. And that's where you were talking a little bit about crisis pregnancy centers. These are organizations that look really good on the outside. They're glossy. You know, are you pregnant? Do you need help? Yes, I am pregnant and I need help. So people go there and they get half of the story, but not the other half. And as a physician, it's my obligation to make sure that my patients have all of their options, all of the pregnancy information, all of the adoption information, all of the abortion information, so that they can make those decisions for themselves, not only limited options that serve a political purpose.
And there are people who obviously have very heartfelt feelings. Again, we heard from some yesterday and some who have been through pregnancies that ended early and had mm-hmm. some kind of a tragic outcome. But I don't think the lesson to take away from that is that you should remove options from other people, again, to where you're interfering in what, no matter how firmly you may believe something, this is not a theocracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all have our own beliefs. Mm-hmm. And we all deserve the right to be able to follow our own beliefs, but we can't impose our beliefs on other people. And no one understands you the way that you understand you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a doctor, I've certainly taken care of people who have beliefs that differ from my own, but it's my obligation to my patients to help them figure out what works best for them, not to tell them what I think they should do.
Well, you used an interesting word there about imposing your beliefs on others. And the other word that people use is cram. And they're going to use that in our next segment. Is they're going to say, you shouldn't cram, the LGBTQ lifestyle. No, there's a vast, vast difference between mm-hmm. you being exposed to a lifestyle or a decision that you don't agree with. That's not cramming anything down your throat. That's not imposing anything. But when you turn around and then limit, if you make drag shows illegal, if you make abortion illegal, then you're the one who's actually cramming a moral code down somebody else's throat.
Mm-hmm. You're doing exactly the thing that you are accusing others of doing, instead of just opening it up. And it all comes down to fear, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, you're fearful that somebody is going to make a choice that maybe you don't agree with. You know, I see this. I think of a patient who I diagnosed with uterine cancer, and she wanted to treat it with vitamin K infusions. And I know that that doesn't work, because there's no evidence to support that, but that was the path she wanted to go down. So we had extensive conversations and referrals, and that was where she ended up going, and her outcome wasn't good, but it was her decision. And ultimately, as a doctor, again, I want the best thing for my patients, but part of what is the best thing is your ability to make your own choices for yourself.
Normally, and I'm so thankful that you're here to give this OBGYN perspective, and I don't normally bring my wife into this, who's also an OBGYN. She's much more camera shy, microphone shy, as the case may be, but very much loves what she does. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the crisis pregnancy centers to her, and I asked if they are there some that are, actually doing more harm than good. Now, her response was that she's never actually had any that, that answer that question. Yeah, she says some of them seem to be very heartfelt and they do provide, some information. She just, wishes that they would give you all of the information and give mm-hmm. you the spectrum of all options. So this is not to say that there are not caring people on the side that want to stop all abortions. It's not about making them into being bad people, but healthcare is about comprehensive information, decision-making, privacy rights, by the way, which these crisis pregnancy centers, they don't abide by HIPAA, the federal privacy law. you know?
Not just by HIPAA, but by medical standards. I've seen patients come to me with ultrasounds that show the pictures is a patient's bladder. And then they say, this is inside the uterus. This is the pregnancy. But it's clearly not the pregnancy. But they have no, they don't have to abide by the same standards and the same credentials that we have to as medical professionals.
Right.
So people are receiving subpar care and there are no repercussions for that.
And that's why one of the other Republican bills would basically force state taxpayers to hand over $1 million a year to a group that would then divvy up grants to all of these pregnancy resource centers. Again, with no accountability, with no transparency, at no enforcement against giving bad information that could actually be harmful to patients as well. Thank you, Kristen. I appreciate that so much. She's going to stick around and we're going to do hometown health and talk about the mental health benefits of being a little more true to yourself and others, because like the little girl said, you worry about yourself. We'll be back. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
We're back now with Hometown Health. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of it, we were talking to our guest, Zeb Metzler, who's also working clearly in some kind of wedding planning capacity. And I told them, and I'm going to give it away free now because I realize I'm never going to get to do it. My big idea was we were talking about wedding reception places, dance halls like the Darboy Club is gone now. There's a place in Tilden here that's been closed for a while. I want to open it up again, and I'm going to call it The Reception. And people can come up, and there's not going to be any weddings there, but you can always feel like you're at a wedding. There's going to be roasted chicken. There's going to be a polka band every weekend. You know, you're going to do the little chicken dance. There's going to be wedding cake that you can have. If there is a wedding there, fine. But Kristen, don't you think people would just go to a place called The Reception and just feel like they're at a party?
That's wedding crashing. I mean, you can do that any Saturday at the, you know, Venables.
Right, but then you don't have, but do you really want to deal with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson every weekend? I mean, crash it yourself, you know, instead of crashing it, just come to the restaurant. So there you go, folks, free entrepreneurial idea, which takes us to Zeb Metzler, our guest that Dr. Lyerly brought in for Hometown Health. Because again, you could hear just as I said it there, when you're at a reception, you're just yourself. You're just free to be you. There's no work stress. There's no politics, anything like that. And Kristen, that's the genesis for this week's segment.
Yeah, we're talking about the health benefits of drag shows. And we are so lucky to have the host and headliner of the Drama Queens show, which is at the Broadway Theater in De Pere, Green Bay area, entertainer Zeb Metzler, also known as Mimi Jackson. Zeb, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on this morning.
And happy Pride, I should mention.
Yes, thank you. Happy Pride to everybody out there, too. It's not just for us. You can celebrate who you are all year long.
Exactly. It's all about being who you are.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just, you know, busting right into the politics of it, in recent times, politicians have really become interested in drag shows. Mm-hmm. They've restricted or prohibited drag shows, claiming that the sexual themes and imagery are inappropriate. But proponents of drag shows point out that these measures are discriminatory against the LGBTQ+ community, mm-hmm. and they violate First Amendment laws. So you, Zeb, Mimi, you perform in drag shows.
I do.
Is it because when you were a kid, you were indoctrinated, or is there something more to your personal story? How did you get here?
Well, you know, I always blame my mother a little bit for this, because there may or may not be an old Polaroid somewhere of me at like 2 years old in a pink and white dress and bows in my hair, because apparently she really wanted to have a little girl and she got stuck with me. And I was like, look, you're the first one to actually put me in drag. So I kind of blame mom a little bit for that. But no, I grew up on the stage and acting and singing and dancing in musical theater. So for me, going into drag was just kind of that next step into a different role. This year actually is my 20-year anniversary of doing drag, which makes me feel really old. And every time I get in drag, my body reminds me that I'm not 20 anymore. So yeah, that's kind of the short version of how that all came about.
20 years. This is not a new thing. Like, politically, this seems very new and spicy, but this is not new at all.
Oh, no. Drag has been around for centuries. I mean, all the way back to Shakespearean times. So drag is nothing new. I think it's more prominent, obviously, nowadays. It's more visible in the community. Drag brunches popping up left and right, drag bingo. Those are two very niche things that have become very, very popular. And then again, with RuPaul and Drag Race coming out how many years ago, I mean, it really kind of elevated the platform of drag and made it more visible, which was really great for all of us entertainers to see. But then again, you always have that backlash from whatever, you know, individuals or group of individuals that have their own thoughts about it. So,
well, they understood that, of course, that after the Obergefell decision, you know, they could no longer just fight the, you know, the same sex marriage battle. Right. And these are folks who I don't doubt 60 years ago would have been up in arms over interracial marriage. It's just the latest grievance. Yeah. And I think it's very, very wrong to say in a positive way, but it seems to me that in each of these cases, as some more people feel like the world can be a more accepting place, they can be more public, they can be free to be themselves, but that does invite others to then attack them for their choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it doesn't matter whether it's drag or anything these days, there's a group out there that just wants to, it's like they wake up every morning and say, who can we, you know, hurt today, which is just, it's sad that we're in that world today. But yeah, drag has kind of taken the limelight lately. And it's sad because drag is such a creative and sometimes inspirational art for others. Just again, to be who you are, to be not afraid to be yourself in your own skin and to just have fun. Drag is about having fun.
The first time that I went to a show, I wasn't sure what to expect. I got dragged along to a drag show by a friend who was celebrating her birthday. And frankly, it made me a little uncomfortable because it was something that I was unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. And it seemed very bawdy. And it was just starting to get some attention politically. Yeah. But I knew I was going to be safe because I was with friends and she was bringing her mom. Sure. And so we went to the show and it was so vibrant and exciting. And as we started to get more into it, I got it. Sure. I actually had to be there to understand. So for those of us, there are many of us out there who haven't been to a drag show. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of walk us through it? What is it actually like to perform and to attend one of these events?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and there are, just to preface, there are so many different venues and types of shows. As you mentioned, I do host the Drama Queen series at the Broadway Theater, which is a much more live experience as far as live singing. It's more cabaret style. So there's a lot of more creativity, if you will, in some of those shows. But I mean, it's all about kind of knowing your venue that you're going into, knowing your queens ahead of time. I mean, there are some entertainers out there that like to kind of push those risque boundaries and like to be a little bit more sexual, if you will. But the entertainers that are in the Northeast Wisconsin area and all of Wisconsin that I've worked with are really good about knowing their audience. You know, if they're doing a Sunday morning brunch show, they're not bringing out, you know, the whips and chains. They're going to make sure that it's appropriate to the audience and things of that nature. But regardless of where you're going, it's a fun experience. You walk in, if it's a bar show or if it's a theater show, there's always the lights, the glitz, the glamour, there's costumes galore.
The music.
Yeah. I mean, it's uplifting. It's all about having fun. It's all about entertaining people. And just, again, forgetting about the rest of the world for that short hour and a half, 2 hour period while you're there being entertained. It's no different than going to the movies or a Broadway show.
Or Zeb, what it seems, forgive me for sounding like an old man here, you're describing vaudeville. You know, yeah. Where people would go sit in a theater and they would watch people be themselves because, again, much like chain restaurants, now it's like chain entertainment. You go, everybody goes and sees the same Marvel Comics movie, where what it used to be was home cooking. This is home cooking of entertainment.
Right.
Again, know your audience. If your act isn't really good or if you don't connect with the audience, you're not going to get applause. You're not going to be invited back, whatever the case may be. But if you make that connection, people come out feeling better.
Absolutely. And that's what all entertainers have learned as they've grown up in their entertainment skin, if you will. When I started out 20 years ago, I mean, I remember looking at pictures not too long ago thinking, who let me out of the house? Because it was all about the big blue eyeshadow and just trying to look like a real girl versus really trying to accentuate and go full drag, if you will. But it really is. It's about going out and just having fun. And those different venues, there's so many different venues. Hamburger Mary's, where it is a dinner and a theater experience. There are casts for certain shows and venues that, you know, have a standard cast and they work out different routines and group numbers. So all those things that all those girl groups from the 50s and 60s or even 70s, 80s, 90s, all those things that you can't pay to go see in concert anymore, or they're just not available, are things that a lot of entertainers like to recreate and bring back to the stage.
And I should also note for folks, anybody out there going, well, you know, vaudeville, that was family, wholesome, clean fun. No, it was not. It was not. And there was cross-dressing back then, and there was body jokes, and that's how people like Mae West, you know, made their bones. Uh-huh. Kristen, we put this in Hometown Health because you noted that it's actually been looked at about being at events like drag shows and what that does for people who feel like they're in a safe space.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great for people who perform in drag because, as Zeb's talking about it, that's that creative outlet. But it's also great for people who attend these drag shows. And there was a study out of the University of Northampton that showed that people who attended, these are quotes, there is overwhelming evidence to support the feeling that attending these events allow individuals to be their true selves, that it creates an atmosphere of acceptance and openness and a safe space for attendees, which is non-judgmental. It encourages liberation and self-expression, which boosts attendees' confidence and has a positive impact on happiness and mental well-being. So this isn't just about the queens getting out there and being themselves. This is about all of us getting out there and having a blast together and just really enjoying a different type of entertainment.
Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, any kind of show you go to, there's a good chance there's a theme for that night, whether it's an 80s theme or something. And a lot of times it's encouraged, you know, dress the part. So it's not just us getting into drag. It's a chance for the audience to come dressed up, you know, for the theme of that night and just to let loose and have fun. There's always some kind of comedy woven into drag shows. You know, the hosts and MCs, it's kind of on them to make sure that they're on point with their game too. But I mean, just laughing, just the laughter that happens. They always say laughter is the best medicine, right? But I did a show at the theater not too long ago, and I had a lot of first timers who've never been there before. And, you know, at intermission, you know, I'm out mingling with the guests and such, and some came up and they're just like overwhelmed with what's happening in front of them and just the emotions from laughing to crying and tears. I mean, as much as it's beneficial for those who attend it, it's just as beneficial for us on stage. I find myself in most shows that I do, at least at some point, you know, trying to choke it down, if you will, because I'm getting really welled up with the emotion as well, because I'm seeing that feedback, or you're doing a touching song or having a touching moment and you can just hear a pin drop, or the crowd is all in tears and sniffle it. And it's just amazing to know that you have that effect on people and that you have that ability to reach out and touch those people's lives for that moment.
You know, we've got time for one more, Zeb, and I wanted to ask, and Kristen asks this all the time, talking about the intersection of health and politics, and sometimes that involves advocacy. So if you were either to talk to either elected officials and candidates or just folks who want to learn more, what is it you think they should know that they don't know? What can they do to be better familiar with you?
I would say get involved. Get involved with your community. I mean, it's Pride Month, so there's going to be, you know, events happening left and right to any LGBTQ establishment. So get involved, show up, just be present. There's nothing wrong with going and trying something, and it might not be for you, but you might find that, hey, this is not what I thought it was. But yeah, just be present in the community. And same with entertainers. I know a lot of entertainers who like to get involved with their community as well. And so they'll reach out to their elected officials just to see, you know, what other events are happening, what can they do just to get involved to help the community. So just building those relationships, I think, is the first step.
Let's remember, a lot of these events are charitable in nature, raising funds to help somebody pay for bills or to help a community organization or, you know, whatever. So there is often an additional benefit to
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for a group of individuals who have maybe been kind of left out in the cold all their lives, it's amazing to see how much they just jump on that bandwagon of let's help others out.
It just makes so much sense that, you know, it's through helping one another, accepting one another, that we become not nearly the candidates for high blood pressure that, again, is not an actual medical diagnosis. But
sure.
Come on, people, worry about yourselves.
Absolutely.
And go have some fun and benefit the community. Zeb, Mimi, thank you so much.
Really thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Kristen, thank you again. Hey, Luke Mathers is off this week. You want to hang around and we'll pick on Luke anyway, and we'll find ways to promote Civic Media and all the new shows next week?
It would be my pleasure.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll take this break here and wrap up our conversation for this Thursday morning, June the 1st, right after this. You're up.
Got you covered on that. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Aw. We're missing you, Luke Mathers.
Oh, that's why you played this song. Aww.
That's why Aaron, let me make clear, Aaron played the song.
Yes,
it's Aaron
this
who's
fighting
for Luke here.
I like how you have to clarify that Luke is intentionally not here. It's
yes.
Not just that he forgot or
no.
Didn't get the link.
I was out shoveling the driveway. No, none of that.
We love Luke.
We do. And he has been busting his butt along with Crute and everybody else and Sage, the folks at Civic Media, Brian, just so many people down there working hard for the next chapter of Civic Media. So we, Kristen and I, who are not employees of Civic Media, are going to take our best crack at doing what Luke would normally be doing here, and that is promoting all that Civic Media does. And then Aaron, who is on the payroll here, is going to talk about a couple of the shows that are coming up that he works with or produces, things like the Cripes Cast, in just a bit. But the main point is this. Come Monday, Civic Media's family grows with stations in the Chippewa Valley and La Crosse and Racine, Kenosha, and you'll hear more about the stations in Hayward. And in some of these places, they are getting new local shows. Some are getting new local shows right away. Some are getting them in the weeks or months to come. Not only will there be more local shows, but there will be some changes in the statewide shows. But in all cases, Kristen and Aaron, the thing that really works about this is made in Wisconsin radio.
Exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And exactly what Wisconsinites want to hear. What's happening in my community?
Yeah. So Aaron, for one of those things that does stick around and does not change, that, of course, would be the Cripes Cast, and you help put that together so that the listeners can hear it over the weekend, so you kind of get a sneak peek at what Charlie Behrens was up to.
Yeah, which is always fun. It's always great listening to the Cripes Cast because, believe it or not, Charlie Behrens, a comedian, is funny and also has a lot of good stories to tell.
That fact checks out, yes.
But this weekend, he's having on another comedian, Hannah Berner, whose last name, B-E-R-N-E-R, is so close to being an anagram of Behrens. Just change one letter and it would have been. But that aside.
Well, a couple of more letters and my name would be Smith. But I mean, it is what it is.
Hey, it's only one letter. But you know. Anyway, yeah. She's from the East Coast and came to Wisconsin for college. So she talks a lot about the cultural differences and just how different it is, how much nicer people are here. And then, of course, since they're both comedians, a lot of ribbing on each other and fun stories. So it's a good time.
Yep. And that's Saturday and Sunday afternoon still, correct?
Yep. Right at noon.
Okay. Very good. Our friend Luke is moving on the clock, and rather than having dueling tangents, there will now be a new noon hour, news and information hour, that starts with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell, who will do, I think, about 15 minutes of news or so along with his news team. And then Luke and William Walter will do the rest of the hour with your phone calls, something called Town Call. See, it's like Town Hall, but they made it Town Call. You see what they did there?
That's so clever.
Oh, yeah. That's what we'd be telling Luke if he was here. Like, wow, you worked really hard. Again, much like Aaron, you just change one letter. It's a whole different
story.
There you
go. There you go. Together,
you know? So look for that at noon, and then you'll hear the Civic Media newscasts at 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Those are those five-minute newscasts, and then expanded news at noon. We teased him that he should go for 30 minutes and we'd call it the half hour news hour, but I think somebody already probably stole that name, you know, as it is. Kristen, you appear on As Goes Wisconsin on a regular basis on Thursdays, and they are moving. Let me see if I want to get this right here. They were what? 11 to 2.
Uh-huh.
And they're moving now 10 to noon.
10 to noon.
10 to
right.
noon. So how
Although
does
today? Today we're still going to be on at noon.
Okay. No, I mean, that's what I mean. Is Monday all these lineup changes start? So you're going to be on at noon today, but then next week when the lineup changes, when will you be making your appearance for what do we call it? Public cervix announcement.
Public cervix announcement will air at 11 o'clock on Thursdays.
11 o'clock on Thursday, starting next week. Mm-hmm. That's for As Goes Wisconsin, which will be 10 a.m. to noon starting next week, except in Madison, where it will start at 11. You'll hear it from 11 to noon, because the Stephanie Miller Show will be on from 8 to 11. It's at 8 o'clock where we really show off the variety of Civic Media shows. When we get done here at 8 o'clock at Up North News Radio, Earl Ingram will be on in Waukesha, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Racine. Chad Holmes is moving to mornings. He'll be on from 8 to 10 on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. You'll have WFHR mornings out of Wisconsin Rapids. Stu Daniels is going to have a show from 8 to 10 in, I think, don't hold me to this, La Crosse, Amory, Hayward, Richland Center.
And Oshkosh.
And Oshkosh. Okay, so Earl Ingram will not be in Oshkosh. See, I should have brought a whiteboard. That would have been so much easier, like NFL draft day or something. Isn't there something, is there like a little portable whiteboard in Crute's office that you can go down the hall and get for us? I'm sure it's there, right?
I'm not sure, but I know that Todd has
I know it's not there. I did, and if it is, it's got scribbles and you know, debris on it from throwing things at it, because I know this has been a very intensive process to set up a new lineup.
Most definitely.
So then you've got Todd Alba is moving to afternoons, and he will be statewide from 1 to 3 every afternoon. Then the 3 o'clock hour will be Matt Flynn, except in Amory and Hayward, where it will be Matt McNeil out of the Twin Cities. And then Wisconsin Rapids will have Rolling with Rapids from 3 to 4. And then Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6, Maggie Dunn's new show from 6 to 7. And then all the weekly shows at 7 o'clock, like Kristen and I used to do a weekly Wednesday evening show. So, Kristen, I hope you were able to track all that, because obviously you're going to be doing more things. You went from a podcast, a weekly podcast, to being on once a week on the radio, to being on like 3 days a week with me, one day a week with As Goes Wisconsin. I feel like it's only a matter of time before we find the Kristen Lierley Show out there someplace in the world.
I don't know about that, but the beauty of this is you can just flip through the radio stations until you hit the radio station that you want to listen to. And if you want to listen to somebody else's show, you just go to civicmedia.us/shows, and you can listen to anything you want. And if it's not there, you can listen to the podcasts. There are so many different ways to listen that you just can't lose.
Honestly, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I should just let you handle this so well. Thank you for mentioning the podcasts. We are, you know, again, which you can get through all of the usual places, Apple and Spotify and everything. And we've completely glossed over the fact that not all of the Civic Media stations are news talk. There are plenty of music stations there as well. Some that will be undergoing branding or format changes again come Monday. So Monday morning, it's a new era for civic media, continuing to get national attention for what's going on in bringing Wisconsin-made radio back to more of Wisconsin. Kristen, thanks for helping out for all this so much. You know I appreciate it.
I love spending the morning with you guys.
All right. We appreciate it, too. Thank you, Aaron. And that'll do it for us today. You can follow me all day long on Facebook. Just go to Pat Kreitlow Up North. Have a great Thursday. See you tomorrow.